Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour 3, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, welcome in. Cowboys practice report was just sent out, and you do have Jermaine Johnson edge for the Jets, DNP there with his ankle situation. Braylon Allen has gone on IR. Michael Carter, a cornerback, DNP. And Mason Taylor, their tight end, has been limited the last 2 days. I think he is their tied for their second most receiving yards.
He's a good player.
LSU guy, right?
Yeah, LSU guy.
And then Cowboys, nothing changed from yesterday. Just a whole bunch of injured dudes and limited dudes. And here's Chief with your Sounds of the Sports Day.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. All right, we got some good ones in here for you today. I'm fired up about this. Wait till you hear the Throwback Thursday football clips of the day. I got two of them that I think are pretty all time. But we start with ESPN on ABC, where they're broadcasting the Padres and Cubs game, and they're teasing ESPN's NHL opening night coverage, trying to cross-promote a little bit. We understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben McDonald, the analyst on the broadcast.
LSU guy.
He was not having it.
And the Blackhawks return to the ice next Tuesday, NHL opening night against the defending champion Florida Panthers at 5 Eastern, 4 Central on ESPN. Triple header that night. Penguins, Rangers, Avalanche, Kings. Ben, I know you got an opinion on this. Panthers three-peat this year. What do you think?
If you say so. I mean, good luck to them. Are you asking if I'm going to be watching?
No, you'll be watching, of course, because you work for ESPN. You'll be watching Friday night.
There is zero chance I'll be watching. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Where will you be?
I will be somewhere, but there's zero chance I'll be watching.
All right, thanks, Ben. We'll be watching. Thanks for the rating.
I do love the honesty there from Ben McDonald.
Yeah.
I will not be watching. Yeah. If you think the Panthers can get it done once again and go for the three-peat, then I'll take your word for it. I'm sure ESPN really appreciated that. Not much of a hockey guy.
Hey,
but ESPN's not much of hockey guys.
South Louisiana guy.
Yeah, that's probably, not really where the...
Probably not much of a hockey.
Where the ice...
I think, though, the ice skaters or something like that. I think we have a really creative name in Baton Rouge for our hockey team. I probably should have looked this up before I said it.
The Ice Cats?
Ice Skaters, something like that. Lucius, do you have a nickname for our... Baton Rouge, I think we have a...
Yeah, everybody knows it's the Skating Cajuns.
The Skating Cajuns?
I bet that's probably it.
I believe Lucius when he says that.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Speaking of cross-promotion, let's go ahead and do that right here because we had the Anthony Davis story. He's putting on some LBs, and the morning show was discussing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis coming into camp a little bit heavier than usual. He's saying much to do about nothing. What is it? Did you find it? Is it the Skating Cajuns?
No, it's the Baton Rouge Zydeco's.
Hey!
All right. Yeah, you're close. What's your next guess? Is that French for raising Cajuns?
Zydeco's yeah, Lucy's got it. It's that music, style of music.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
What was it? The Buckwheat Zydeco.
Buckwheat Zydeco's, yeah. Yeah.
I bet those games are a heck of a time.
How hot and humid, probably. Well, maybe not.
How do they keep that ice?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. How does that thing not become a slush fest down there?
So this is Sean letting us know that everything's fine with Anthony Davis. He's giving us some good basketball analysis here. If Anthony Davis is going to be a big man now and really dominate in the paint, then fine. Sean's cool with the bloated nature of his current body.
If I knew that part of his offseason plan was, I'm going to start pounding dudes. I'm going to start backing up that rear end, I'm going to start back 3 seconds, 3 seconds, 3 seconds.
Caked up.
Bam.
Yeah. Is that a lot?
Explosion.
That's the basketball analysis you can get every morning.
Whew. Sounds like Sharif. RJ really liked it.
And RJ was really, he was like,
pound those guys.
He was like Zolak on those Patriots touchdown calls, man. Woo. Ah. Really, really, really good basketball analysis right there, man. And we'll probably have our first rim session coming up here in the near future.
I never remember that working for a single hooper. Like, hey, I know, I got to play Shaq. I'm going to put on 50 pounds of fat. This is going to go great.
If I just get a little bit fatter, I can be better at my job where I got to be a great athlete.
Yeah, you know, there will be some muscle involved here. I'm going to work out, be super doughy, and just, you know, step to Shaq. It ain't happening, bro. Your only chance is to get athletic and lean.
Especially
pounding that guy.
Especially for a guy that's been so banged up throughout his career, you would think like being lighter would be the best thing possible.
Yeah,
for a guy like Anthony Davis. Armor, man. Maybe need some body armor.
Yeah, maybe. We'll find out.
Lean muscle? That'd be good body armor.
No, man. Body armor.
Throw that gut around a little bit. Yeah. Watch how it can work for you.
It only works for Patrick Mahomes, to my understanding.
Yeah, he's the one guy that's defying that right now.
Yeah, he's Taco Bell built.
Was Dak kind of initially kind of a heavier quarterback initially?
Yeah, but he was kind of like husky. He was husky, but he was husky everywhere. It wasn't just like, oh, and then here's our quarterback with the
carried
gun,
it well.
like Ben Roethlisberger or something. Like, yeah. Dak was, he was strong.
He was a big guy.
Like, he was he was definitely on the thicker side of things. But
and if you evolve as an athlete like Luka Doncic, you know, being over 20% body fat for the majority of your life, you learn how to operate with that, or you've proven I can operate with that. You take a super lean guy, start pounding on that extra weight. You know,
not the easiest thing to adapt to.
No, it's a completely different deal.
Okay, to the world of college football, we had Lane Kiffin beating LSU. LSU has a linebacker that's dating his daughter. We all found out about that.
Whit Weeks.
This is Whit Weeks, the LSU linebacker. Apparently, he was vomiting during the game because Ole Miss was cranking up the tempo so much. Here was Lane Kiffin on Pardon My Take.
Hey, man, we got to win the game, you know, and even though I embraced it and he's a great kid and everything, we might have increased the tempo just a little bit, you know, like 50 plays in the first half, you know, see if we can get this guy to throw up, you know.
So he cranked up the tempo quite a bit.
He did.
We knew that he had something up his sleeve for the boyfriend of his daughter who played for the opposing team. Like, he was going to find a way to get him in.
She was cheering for Ole Miss.
Well, oh, was she?
They showed her, yeah. She's sure for Ole Miss. After the game. They
all right.
Showed her. Yeah.
After the game, of course, when Ole Miss wins. All right, I'm an Ole Miss fan.
You know, she was with her family members cheering for Ole Miss.
I just love that from a sports dad standpoint. Like, he had an opportunity to make a statement here and literally has the guy vomiting during the game because he's just running so much tempo and attacking.
Is this your king?
Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Like, I think every dad would love that opportunity. Like, hey, no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
We're just, we're in the throes of competition. I'm trying to win, but also I'm trying to let you know who's daddy.
Clearly not the one here for you, honey.
Yeah, that's true. Got to start thinking about that. I can't imagine being, and I was exhausted in some games, and I threw up at some practices, whatever conditioning, but vomiting in a game. I remember watching Riley Dodge do that for Southlake. Yeah. And I don't know if he was exhausted or if he just had an upset tummy.
Sometimes you drink.
I think that was a state championship game.
Sometimes you drink too much Gatorade.
It can be an anxiety thing, I think, more than anything.
Yeah.
Where it's pregame, you know, it's just like.
Oh, yeah, pregame puke or
the
whatever.
Butterflies.
Yes.
This was a pure exhaustion of vomit. It could have been, you know, playing girlfriend's dad. There could have been a lot going on, creating a butterfly type of situation. As a dad, I think you want your kids to root for the same teams, or if I'm coaching a team, can you support this team? But at some point, they're going to rebel, and I think you have to encourage that. You know, but it really got to me about 4 years ago when Abby was on the NBA YouTube just watching nonstop Kobe and Shaq videos, like the documentaries were coming out, and she decided she wanted to be a Lakers fan. And it floored me because the Lakers are my number one hate watch in the history of sports by far.
Mm-hmm.
And I just laid low, you know. I didn't want to be too heavy-handed because as a dad, you get heavy-handed with the boyfriend. Next thing you know, it makes her like him more.
Yes, yes. You know,
you got to be careful with these kind of deals.
Yeah, you got to act.
Lucius used to troll me with that all the time.
He did, dude.
I mean, it set me off. It was triggering. You know,
right.
Anything Laker or Kobe related.
So you just had to kind of keep your mouth shut a little bit and then just let that seasonal
infatuation. Yeah, just run its course.
Absolutely.
You know, there's a lot of trends, but I think you can almost traumatize it into permanence if you have too strong of a reaction as a dad.
Yes. Yeah, that's a pro tip right there. Veteran move. Thank you for that.
You got it.
Now we head to the podium in Tampa where Baker Mayfield is at the mic, and he's about to square off versus Sam Darnold. This is a fun game. It's a big game this weekend. Bucks, Seahawks, two of the upper-tier teams in the NFC. No question. Now, Baker and Sam, this is a bit of a reunion for them because they were teammates together, if you remember, in Carolina. Now, this was, and that was not a great stay for either one of those guys, but this is him asked about reminiscing on the good old days with Sam and their time together in Carolina.
Reminisce about the good old days in Carolina? What are you talking about?
Reminisce about what days?
Good old days in Carolina?
Oh, nope. No, we don't.
the what days? Those were not good days for me. When I think of Baker Mayfield in Carolina, don't we all think about the same thing? Yeah. Where he's playing practice squad edge rusher?
Oh, that's right.
He's got his hand in the dirt.
Bro. That was rock bottom for him.
That was absolutely rock bottom. Yeah. Believe it or not, it wasn't Cleveland. It was playing scout team edge rusher for the Carolina Panthers. And now he's just throwing touchdowns to Emeka Egbuka. What a turnaround. What a turnaround for both those guys.
Yeah, him and Sam Darnold. Yeah, get there. Do that. You know, when it looks like your career is over and you're going to have to go be the failure back home in your college town or whatever, or, hey, you know, sorry it didn't work out for you in the NFL, to suddenly you're considered one of the top 10, top 15 players in the game, got to be an incredible relief.
Yes. Like,
holy crap, that was close. I was starting to doubt myself.
Wasn't that the same season? Didn't he go from Carolina to L.A. to play with the Rams, and then on a short week, on a Thursday night game, makes his first start, and it's a comeback victory versus the Raiders, because the Raiders do Raiders things.
Yeah.
That was the turning point. That was the Gavin Dawson turning point in the Baker Mayfield career. How about that? All right, two throwback Thursday football clips of the day. We start with Broaddus's head coach, Brian Kelly. This is when he was at Notre Dame. Notre Dame had just lost to FSU, and I can't believe he said this.
What did you think of your team's ability to withstand Florida State's impressive comeback?
Yeah, you know, I'm in favor of execution. Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after tonight.
That was Brian Kelly talking about his football players.
He actually was trying to steal a line from John McKay, who said it with Tampa Bay when he was the first year coach at Tampa. And he said, "Coach, what'd you think of your execution?" He says, "I believe in execution of my team." He was basically, he was trying to steal a John McKay line. I'm in favor of execution.
A much more violent
of my team,
misquoting there.
Yeah, very violent, yeah.
Okay, now this one popped up courtesy of our buddy Mike Sando of The Athletic.
Yeah, Mike likes us.
Yes, and this is not some sound I had ever heard. I would imagine you guys haven't either. Maybe Broaddus has. Yeah. This goes back to the New Orleans Saints when they were absolutely terrible, and it was Jim Mora Sr.
Oh, yeah.
As their head coach.
Yeah.
This guy, I mean, he's known for the playoffs rant, right, with the Colts.
He's got some good ones.
This one right here, let's play a game called Count the S-Bombs. This was after a training camp practice.
Dean told me he blew his knee out. You know, you got to block people on a screen. Shit, he gets the ball out there, and two guys, big old animals, nail his ass. Shit, it's ridiculous. We run a screen before that, we get our ass nailed.
Scales, coaches.
I don't know. I don't know. You know, Dean said he couldn't put any weight on his leg. That didn't sound too good to me. We're down. You know, we're down in back. We're down in everything. We don't have enough people right now. Be hard to practice next week effectively.
Pink it done for the year, you think?
I don't know. Dean told me it looked like he tore two knee ligaments. That didn't sound very encouraging.
Do you take into account of all the fact that they bear?
I don't take into account All I take into account is they kicked our ass today. That's what I take into account.
Stowers.
Well, let me just tell you something. He looked pretty good, right? They cut him before they came to camp. Kansas City Chiefs cut Stowers before they came to camp. Looked pretty good for us. Maybe that shows you the difference between our team and their team. I don't know.
Will you go back to
what practice? Do you guys think about that? You, pretty good indication, right? They won't even bring him to camp. He looks like a star of the day for the Saints.
Will you change the focus of practice?
Depends if we got anybody that can practice. You know, we can line up and do something.
Jim, was the effort there today? Did you?
It was all right. You know, Buford Jordan goes in there and gets a little hit and knocks the ball out. Head gets in there, gets a little hit, ball goes out. Shit, I don't know if that's effort or not. It's horse shit ball carrying, I know that. Horse shit.
Is that not incredible, dude?
Dean Kleinschmidt, the trainer at the Saints, is a great guy, too.
Yeah.
About everything. Dean?
Yeah, he's Dean.
Dean Kleinschmidt.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, what a great guy. Great guy. Yeah.
Jim That's Mora. Incredible, dude.
Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah. It kind of sounded like if Tom Landry was a cusser.
Yeah. Those coaches back in the day, man.
Characters.
Seriously, man.
Doing bits up there, doing routines.
They just...
And they, like, do you know how funny you're being right now?
I don't think so.
They don't.
They haven't found the mindfulness to sort of rein it in yet.
They don't. They really don't. Yeah. They're just seriously, like, they're asking the reporters, like, what did you think? He's like, hey, the guy wasn't good enough to be on the Chiefs. What do you mean?
That is frustration and urgency and intensity all snowballing on you to a point that.
But he turned that team around, though, man. He had the Dome Patrol in the 80s. Yeah. He turned that thing around.
A couple of good years there between brown bags.
Yeah, he did. He did a good job.
Well, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Always amazing to listen to the sounds of the sports day with Eric Chiafalo. And then, you know, go back to back with some college football coming up next. What do you say?
Yeah, let's crank up the Darty featuring NFL scouts talking about these college quarterbacks in the Big Ten versus the SEC. That's next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here in the nation.
Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the fan. Some Cowboys Twitter's coming up at 4:40. We'll give you what Dak's saying about why he's playing so well and what these next two games mean for the team. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's Chief with the college football, Darty.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. 877-881-1053. Let's take a look at some of these the big matchups for the weekend, and we'll hear from Sark after this.
Looky here. Mr. Cold Turkey put a mini booze bottle in his headset.
I've never filmed any of you guys when you're using the bathroom, so I don't know what faces you make when you're doing that.
Special teams, fucking joke.
I want them never to say our name again.
Well, I don't get that. Rain Man Cold.
So a couple of people have been asking, like, what's the darty? Broadus, what's a darty?
Stay partying, man.
Come on now.
Yep.
Well, they were doing darties
that might be a good
back
thing
in
about-
the 40s when you were in college.
Oh, yeah.
Call it day drinking back then.
Yeah, we had speakeasies. We go to speakeasies, dress up, go to the speakeasies, knock on the door, say a code word, let us in.
Dress up like bow tie style?
Oh, yeah. Hat, bow tie. Yeah.
Maybe a pimp cane?
Not that. I didn't have that.
Okay.
I had that. I had the bow tie, the hat, you know.
The good old days, right?
Good old days, yeah. Drove in my Studebaker over there, you know.
Is that the ones that go, ooga, ooga?
Yeah. Lucius, I'd go to the college football game with my mink coat on, you know, my hat, with my pennant, ready to roll.
Does anybody feel like Vanderbilt's going to roll over Alabama this weekend?
I have not seen Vanderbilt play this year, but I'm hearing like they're actually pretty good, and LSU's got them here in a couple of weeks. So
they can see him coming.
They beat him last year. Yeah. Vanderbilt beat him. You know, Vanderbilt Revenge got game. Off to a great start in that game and hung on.
It would be. I mean, berserker mode if they could go into Tuscaloosa and beat Bama.
I wonder when the last
for the second time.
I don't know if that's ever happened
in back-to-back seasons. That would be crazy. Alabama's obviously gotten things together a little bit. Their quarterback, Ty Simpson, is coming around to be kind of the real deal. But the problem, I think, for Alabama right now is, like, that's – and you could say, like, oh, that's all they got is a quarterback in a passing game. But they don't run the ball particularly well. They don't stop the run particularly well. They were awesome on third downs, like 13 of 19 versus Georgia. But, I mean, Vanderbilt runs the heck out of the football. Pavia's playing his tail off, dual threat quarterback. So I can't wait to see how this one shakes out. I feel like just about everyone in the country is pulling for Vandy once again.
Yeah, yeah, and it would be such a juicy storyline. I feel like from the Bama perspective, if your coach loses twice, there should be a clause in the contract: we can fire you with no buyout. You lose twice in a row to Vandy.
Well, they play that clip of Saban.
I think that's fair. Yeah,
they play that clip of Saban always saying that there's no easy games in the SEC except when you go to Vanderbilt. You play in Nashville.
Yeah,
and they played that after the game. They played that.
They got some rich alumni throwing money at them now. They're sick of being the laughing stock.
I don't know what their NIL situation is. I know that it's one of the great schools, but I mean,
I was surprised they didn't send them to the Sun Belt.
By the way, the last time that Vanderbilt won in Tuscaloosa, would you like to guess the year?
I was
in college. Put it that way.
Oh, okay. So 82. It was like 84.
84. Yeah, Vanderbilt won 30-21. That was kind of a down Alabama team.
Had to have been.
Yeah.
It's the only way to explain that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be, I mean, game day will be there. It'll get all the hoopla. And hopefully it's at least a fun, close game that comes down to the wire.
Sean's nephew plays for Vanderbilt, correct?
That's well documented. Yes, sir.
He went to the game. He was in Nashville last year when that game was going on. Sean went to that.
Oh, that was the game that he was at?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
What a game to go to. You're thinking, we're going to get
They're taking the field goal post down Broadway.
Yeah. Is it Broadway? Is that the name of the street in Nashville?
Pretty sure it is.
Is it really?
You can go ahead and fact check me.
I'm fact checking.
Speaking of like NIL and stuff like that, Front Office Sports is reporting that the College Sports Commission is the new enforcement group that runs the NIL. And they have created a snitch hotline of sorts to where you can stop improper NIL deals from taking place if you have been made aware of them. So see how, that could get crazy. What, did I nail it?
Heck yeah, you nailed it. Good for you. I need to stop questioning you. Broadway Street, you say Broadway Street, right?
Sure did.
Is Nashville's famous for being the heart of Nashville's entertainment and nightlife, referred often to Lower Broadway or Honky Tonk Highway.
They were honking that night.
It'd be a great song, Honky Tonk Highway. Come up with that.
Probably out there.
It's not already there.
You think we got that one
probably
already?
Probably Jerry Jones' favorite song to karaoke
I know too. The Honky Tonk but Donkey Donk. I'm familiar with that one. I think that's Trace Adkins.
Is that really a song?
Hell yeah.
Better fact check you again?
yeah, please. I actually could see you singing that one on a karaoke night.
I'll look it up.
Read the lyrics.
I'll read the lyrics.
Yeah, why don't you look up the lyrics?
Okay.
Right now, quarterbacks.
Honky donk. What?
What's honky it? Tonk, but donkey donk.
Okay, got you. Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Big butt, Brian.
It is.
I got you there.
Do you? I would imagine rivals are going to be calling the hotline on each other.
That's what I'm. It's exactly where I wanted
it's
to
be.
Take
a waste
this.
Of time.
This is just going to be just ball sack reports left and right to the CSC, and they're gonna within 6 months they're gonna throw their hands up and say this was the dumbest idea we've ever created because we are just chasing. We're chasing squirrels down dead ends.
Backup QBs and third string QBs getting people out of there.
Yeah. Oh.
Get you out of there, bro.
That's right.
Yeah. I've heard that.
Mr. Porsche under the table. I got you, bro.
Yeah. See you later. Guess who's starting now.
Look out.
I don't know. I do feel like at college, the only schools that would get caught on this are just being lazy. Just create a fake company, funnel the cash.
Yeah, go Steve Ballmer on the beat.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Let Pablo find out.
Yeah, but you know, I think it's so loosey goosey in college right now. It's trying to create some sort of a governing body to bust these kids is just pure hating, right? Let the kids get paid. Like, how do you look yourself in the mirror at night, going, "Yes, I'm the guy that tries to take money out of kids playing a violent sport for 4 hours every Saturday." That's just a horrible place to find yourself in life.
How do you sleep at night?
What's that number?
Yeah, Broadus will be calling up on Georgia
and Alabama
real quick. By the way, Pro Football Focus College has the Miami Hurricanes with the number one defensive line carried by Reuben Bain, the guy we talked about earlier.
He's they look good.
But Texas Tech is number two with the second best defensive line.
Put that oil money to work.
Yeah.
We're surrounded by oil. Why aren't we good?
Yeah, they're throwing money around in a big way. Joey McGuire's getting it done, and they will be starting Baron Morton. We have some sound that we can maybe get to him later on in the hodgepodge talking about their backup, Will Hammond. But, Texas Tech, they got a big one in Houston for sure, night game. and Houston is undefeated, 4-0. So, which has already matched its win total for each of the first 2 years since they moved to the Big 12. So they've turned things around a little bit. I'm excited to watch Texas Tech play football once again off the bye week. Now, this was Steve Sarkisian, Texas head coach, talking about kind of Arch and then all these super hyped up quarterbacks that haven't really lived up to the hype.
One thing that came out of this weekend as well, and I'm looking around the country at the high profile players, I don't know if any of them are living up to what everybody said they were supposed to be. But we're in this era right now of everybody's got a phone, so everybody's got Twitter. There's 9,000 podcasts going on.
Thank you.
The coverage over college football is more and more intense than it's ever been. And so players are getting put up on these pedestals really quickly in their careers. And I felt like this weekend I could feel some guys pressing, you know, not so different maybe than Arch was pressing early on, to where they feel like they have to live up to, whether it's whatever they're allegedly making through NIL or because this is what the media is saying I'm supposed to be or I'm not being. College football players are getting critiqued and criticized more now than they ever have in the past too. And so this is a different era that we're in. And I think that we've got to do a great job as coaches of, I don't want to say shelter, but we got to protect our guys, and because they're not pros yet. All right, and the majority of them probably will be, of the guys that I'm talking about. But we've got to do a really good job of putting them in the right mental space to where they're still enjoying playing the game of football with their college football teammates. And so, to me, that's the point to these guys, you know. And I think that they got to play for the love of the game, because they do love the game. They need to play football and not work football. And I think that that's something we've been working on with Arch, and I'm sure there's a lot of other coaches around the country that are going through similar things in that realm.
Bruce Feldman in The Athletic has a quote from somebody at the within the Texas program saying Arch was simply gripping the ball a little too tight. But one NFL scouting director, after watching the film from the Buckeyes game, described it as ugly and wondering if Arch had the yips. And the last time we saw Arch looked quite a bit better, but that was the last tune-up game of the season. It's a big one versus Florida. We'll see if we can get it done.
Gotta lighten up the grip looking over and seeing Sam Houston uniforms.
Yeah, that can.
Suddenly I'm so much more poised.
Yeah, they said he's talented, needs to get rid of whatever is going on with him. I don't know if it's all mental, but I do know he's dealing with a level of pressure that nobody else we're talking about is dealing with.
Yeah, it sucks. You know, basically you're managing pros that are 4 to 8 years younger than real pros now, and so much expectation and hype is coming along with that. I think that's just part of the new landscape of managing players, and you just can't insulate them from it.
NFL scout on Nussmeier brought us his quarterback, saying he doesn't look right. Something's off with him, not firing the ball the way he used to. Dave Hellman was saying he's definitely injured.
Yeah, something going on with the arm or the shoulder. Yeah.
Which I think is more encouraging. Like, when you know there's the guy's banged up, it's like, okay, at least that gives you kind of the reasoning behind why he's not playing very well. And then they were ripping up on Aller from Penn State. These NFL scouts, I don't know if he's just so afraid to make mistakes. You just want to see him cut it loose more. He's got the tools, but I'm not fired up about him when I watch him play. He's kind of robotic with his decision making. So there was like a couple of the top quarterbacks coming into the season, and the NFL scouts are giving their thoughts on him.
Yu Darvish just went hit by pitch to load the bases for the Padres, bottom of the second inning in Chicago.
Yes, sir.
Bases loaded, bottom of second inning, nobody out, as the skipper is having to come out here and talk with Yu Darvish very early in this game. He's been struggling all season, so it's not that much of a surprise.
Honky tonk, but donkey donk. Are we going to get this later payoff? I'm fine with that.
Do you
want to brush up on your vocals?
Oh, it's hustlers shooting eight ball, throwing darts at the wall, feeling damn near 10 feet tall. Here she comes, Lord help us all. Old TW's girlfriend's done slapped him out of his chair. Poor old boy, it ain't his fault. It's so hard not to stare. And then you got a chorus.
Which is?
At that honky-tonk.
But donk-a-donk.
Donk-a-donk. keeping perfect rhythm make you want to swing along? You got to go on like Donkey Kong and oh, wee, shut my mouth, slap your grandmother.
Wow, all the slapping. You. Donkey Kong. Keeping perfect rhythm make you want to swing along. There you go, baby.
Yeah. All right.
You can't be slapping people just for looking at your girl's butt, you know?
No, it's a look, but don't.
Especially
it's like a
museum. If it's a donkey donk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You don't see those all the time.
It's what you signed
just
up
swaying
for.
Swaying and moving. And somebody's going to be like, whoa.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
Yeah, be proud of that.
She probably got some Rocky Mountains on, too. The Rocky Mountain jeans, boy. Yeah. Come on, now. They made Flatbus look good.
It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And Flagtober starts Saturday, Tolbert Garage Door, 9 to 11. Then from noon to 2 at East Dallas Diesel. We want to see you there and give you the all-new G-Bag Nation flag. What's going viral from today's Cowboys practice? We have Cowboys Twitter. Dak Prescott talking about why he's playing so well here at this point and what he thinks of these next two games for the Cowboys, why they're so important.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up next, The Nation. Yes, sir. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We got some Cowboys Twitter here. Top tweets going viral about America's team. We're going to start with Dak Prescott on how he's seeing the game right now. He says, I'm seeing it just the way I want to see it. Just the experience paying off on top of the film study and my preparation. And then just the clear communication when a play is being not only called for, but what the play is clearly being designed for and how we feel like we can attack this or attack that. I think it's just a result of me knowing all of that and putting it all together. I'm feeling good out there. I'm for sure playing as confident as I've ever been. Every year I felt like I've gotten better and making strides in every part of my game. I know sometimes the numbers and things don't always show that, but I think right now they are. So if the question is, why is Dak seeing those things so well? Why is he playing his best football? What do you attribute that to?
Wow, okay, so I think there's plenty of things involved here. I actually have some pretty good numbers on what it is they're doing offensively right now. I think the first thing clearly is just Dak is at an all-time comfort level within the offense, in the pocket, under pressure, accuracy, like all of those physical things that are on you as a player to handle. He's dialed. We talked about the bad throw percentage yesterday. He's usually 15, 16, 17%. Last year, 18% bad throw percentage. This year, it's under 8%. Like, that to me just is you as a quarterback are playing lights out. And
that's such a jump. I'd feel like, man, if you could cut half of that for the rest of the season, that'd be great. Like, how sustainable is that? Are the best quarterbacks in the NFL at bad throw percentage that low?
Yeah, I need to look around the league and see what the other percentages are to get a gauge on if Dak is like otherworldly right now. I do know he is the most accurate passer, so I'd be surprised if there's anybody that's much better than the way he's doing it right now. How sustainable is it? Fair question. But when you also consider the offense that he's in, we've always complained about the offense, right? I mean, there's never been – Dak's never had a play caller that's giving him much of an advantage, setting up guys for success, setting him up for success. But in this – Schottenheimer offense, we've already talked about the run game, Clayton Adams and everything that he's done, and they've built that to perfection, and now they're doing it with backups on the offensive line, really not missing a beat, doing it with Javonte Williams, who, hey, he's playing really, really well, but he's not a household dominant running back, and they're still getting it done. So the run game is clearly working, but when you look at some of the other things, like I was watching Robert Mays of The Athletic, and he was kind of breaking some of the stuff down. Cowboys offense, top 10 play action rate at 30%.
Yeah, I think the running game here has really helped. I think the numbers are 37 of 42 for 368 and a touchdown off play action this year. And I was going to say the running game has probably opened up some stuff for him. The air yards, it seemed like, are off the play action have been more.
They're finding chunk plays. It's like play action, and we're trying to go for a shot.
Yeah, Yeah.
That's been a big difference for Herbert, too, with the Chargers. Yeah. Just a lot more play action.
Yeah. And you see the random quarterback, trying to think of somebody who comes to mind who is not good off play action. But by and large, that helps your quarterback. And Dak has proven to be really awesome off of play action. And now he's in an offense where they're running play action at a top 10 rate. So there's one difference. Over the last two seasons, the condensed formations, 21% of the time, one of the lowest rates in the league. This year, it's at 31%. And we talked about those condensed formations and the best teams in the sport and the way they do that and how that can be very challenging for defenses to account for different things, create different angles, get the bunch formations, things like that going, and it helps create separation. That was something that Shadi had talked about as his vision. We were hoping he would do it. Now you're up 10% over the last two seasons doing just that.
Yeah, but I think that might be a little fool's goal. He's still throwing into a lot of tight windows. He's still one of the top. They haven't had the separation that they've had.
I think part of that is because George Pickens is not a separator.
No,
he's just not a separator.
I agree,
but I'm watching Jalen Tolbert wide freaking open.
Yeah.
It's no brainer he's going to catch the third or fourth down play because he's got great separation on it.
You're talking about the one he came back on?
No, I'm talking about the one that he's coming over on.
Yeah. I like I said, to me, to his credit, he throws more tight window balls. They've got to think about something one day where you actually do get a separator or get separators.
Yes,
to be receivers.
For sure, as players.
I mean, yes. Every year he throws more tight window balls than anybody else.
Yeah, and I
blame McCarthy for that stuff.
Right.
But it's
and
still
Garrett.
Yeah, it's gotten better, but not to the level that some of these other quarterbacks have had enjoyed, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean you can at least see on the television like they're running more routes that can help create some separation as opposed to just always running the stop routes and things like that.
Right? Yeah.
Like you can just see that. But yeah, there is some element to having guys that can just create that separation. And George Pickens in particular is just not one of those guys.
No. I tell you another thing I think that's benefited Dak is the fact that he's thrown the ball, as we talked about earlier, further down the field. Like they used to run routes that were at the sticks, short the sticks.
Yes.
And it was constant, like throw it and hope for the best, hope for a run. The ball he's throwing is further down the field. And he's always been a good deep passer, but the routes, those intermediate routes, like, you know, the 15 to 20, he's hitting a lot more of those.
He is.
Is what he's doing. So that's something I think that's really kind of helped his game is that he's gotten even better at completing those passes in that 15 to 20 yard window.
They're also doing the motion stuff like you would want to see, like a top 10 rate. They're not doing quite as much motion at the snap as some of these other teams, but their overall motion is right up there within the top 10. So that's another big one. And then back to the play action stuff, through four games, the Cowboys have more total EPA generated on play action passes than they had from 2022 to 2024. Combined.
Wow.
In four games.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of it, I mean, that's related to what Brian was just saying. You're testing the back end. You're threatening to play them deep, and you're also making them so worried about your run. It's coming together. It's holistically marrying the run game to the pass game that the Shadi has accomplished in a lot of the work that they did after they got back from Oxnard, California. And I think the way that is all synchronized and complements each other, it all adds up to the best version of Dak. But you don't want to get too far from just giving him so much of the credit for some of these passes that he's throwing to Kevontae Turpin in tight windows, the touchdown to Pickens, the second one. Or I guess that was the first one in the end zone there, right at the end of the first half, just how close the corner is and the safety is. And Dak just hammers that ball in there on the numbers. On the next two games and how important they are, this is Jets and Panthers. He says, I think these next two coming up, we should know exactly who we are after that. We should know what we're capable of. We should know our strengths and our weaknesses. We should be fixing the things that we need to fix to make sure that we're just getting better each week as we move forward. It's massive. If you cannot take care of business against the Jets and Panthers, then, you know, we're what are we doing here? We're getting ready for the draft, and we're talking about that's why Vegas has them over under right now, win total for the rest of the season at 6.5. I mean, yesterday, Brian, you're talking about trading George Pickens.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like you might be as pessimistic as anybody right now on what this team is capable of the rest of the season. What do you expect the rest of these two games, and what's it going to say about the Cowboys?
Well, they're going to have to, depending on what happens with this offensive line and the injuries and stuff like that, you know, can they go, you know, to New York and play a game that, you know, they just can't roll their helmets out there. The Jets being 0-4. I think it's really super important for this whole month of October. If you're a Cowboy fan and you want Jerry Jones to do something, you need to keep winning games. You need to go out there and find a way. And Jerry doesn't discriminate against it. He's like, hey, if it's the Jets or it's the Packers or it's the Eagles or Carolina, it doesn't matter. A win's a win. You've got to go out there and find a way to these next 3 weeks. I'll throw the Commanders in there too. You know, as far as finding a way to win these next three.
Got to.
Because that's gonna make Jerry want to go. He'll probably over-evaluate his team again and say, man, I need to go out and get somebody. I need to go out there. We're playing well enough. Let me help the quarterback. Let me try and help the defense. Let me do those things. But if you go out there and just mess around, you know, and lose this game, the Jets look bad against Carolina, get beat by the Commanders, he's going to sit there and hold those picks. And that way, then you'll know who this football team really, really is.
Yeah, it's Jets, Panthers, then Commanders, Broncos, Cardinals, Raiders. So they could really win the next six games in a row if a quality football team would. They get that game against the Cardinals the day before the NFL trade deadline.
Yeah.
So a lot of interesting things could happen. But this week especially, you've been good against the run. Can that keep up against the Jets without Justin Fields breaking your back and without you having to commit too many extra resources to open the passing game?
Yeah, I was just kind of looking through metrics last night because the film showed how the Jets were running the ball to their left, your defensive right. You know, that metric showed up about because Fashanu, the tackle, the young tackle, they've had the most success running behind him. He's been a little bit like Guyton where he's had some really good moments as that run blocker, but struggle with pressures as a pass protector. So he's kind of had a little bit of a hit and miss season so far, but you know, you've got to figure out who's playing right in for you in these games. Cause if that ball is going to come that way, the corners are involved, the safeties involved, linebackers, but that edge to that right side is the one that's going to be setting it. And that's where your defense is going to play from there.
They do have a really good run game. I just hope it's not a shootout. And I feel like that's the most likely scenario at this point as you're dealing with the game in the high 20s, mid-30s. Okay, what's coming up next, Chief?
Football's finest. Let's take a peek at the Jets and hand out some quarter-season NFL awards next in the nation.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.